This is the Ion Football Podcast with Will Brinson and Ryan Wilson.
All right, Ion Football Podcast time. It is the draft preview. We are live, quasi-live in Fort Lauderdale. Myself and Pete Prisco here down here.
Everybody's weird and we're normal.
The swanky CBS podcast studios. Ryan Wilson piping in from elsewhere.
I'm back. Back on the podcast.
That was the most enjoyable. And we actually talked. We talked for like an hour after the podcast too.
Yeah.
I think he meant the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. We did that too. We did the preview, Super Bowl preview, but then Pete was on the podcast live from the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And then we did some live from the owners meetings, but we didn't have the full crew. The podcast from the Super Bowl did incredibly well, like in terms of downloads. People really enjoyed it, I think.
Yeah, it had a lot to do with Pete, had a lot to do with JLC yelling at Pete, and had a lot to do with Pete hating on Russell Wilson.
How come we didn't get that turned into a TV show yet?
You want me to start on that already?
No, good Lord, no.
Come on, Pete.
So
third round pick.
You've been busy prepping for the draft, doing mock drafts, and pushing sleds around, weight sleds around. 540 pounds.
Yeah, give the backstory on that, because you can't just gloss over a 75-year-old man pushing around. You can't
sit up one day and be pushing around 540 pounds.
I was out in Arizona at LaCharles Bentley's O-line performance thing for a story I'm doing on him. By the way, it's coming out, I think, in a couple weeks. And it is, not because I wrote the story, but I'll tell you this, it is an unbelievable story. The stuff that he told me and all the saga he went through when he injured his knee and had the infection and everything, it's incredible. But
and that was right after he signed with the Browns, basically, right?
It was
that's called a
it
teaser.
It was his first practice with the Cleveland Browns, first one.
And no, that organization isn't cursed. Go ahead.
No, of course not. so I was out there for a couple of days, and I was watching. It was actually he was putting three guys through the workouts. It was Bobby Massey, the right tackle for the Cardinals, Jonathan Cooper, the left guard for the Cardinals, and Sean Laval, the guard for the Washington Redskins.
So you were actually the best lineman out.
No. No, they're good. They're no, strong. So I'm sitting there watching them, and they were pushing 12 plates on each side. So I counted it up, and it was like 1,000 or 1,100 pounds. Jeez. Plus the sled weighs 50 pounds or whatever. So they get done, and they're just pushing it up and down at five-yard increments. Bentley, by the way, who is ripped except for his little leg, and that'll be in the story too, but he pushed it 5 yards at his age. I mean, think about that. It was 1,000 pounds when he
pushed
it.
That's insane, yeah.
So after they're done, they push the sled with no weight on up and down the field 25 yards. You rip it up the field, then you get down on the low one and push back 25 yards. So when they were done, I put it on – two weights on it, and they made me push it up 25 yards back. And let me tell you what, I was huffing and puffing. Well, then they started going. All the players were sitting around. They started getting me going. They put three on. I did it 5 yards. So then all of a sudden, Billy goes, "You're going up." I said, "Going up to what?" He goes, "Six on each side." I said, first off, that's 540 pounds in weight. You know, he said it was over 540 pounds. When you count the apparatus, it's probably another 30 or 40 pounds. You're almost 600 pounds. So I go, all right. I had watched them, and I saw how they got underneath and then powered. And if you don't get your legs underneath, you're not going.
Right.
So I powered it, got my legs going. And
I wish our studio audience could see you kicking your
and
legs.
Got it to 5 yards. Let me tell you something. At one point, I felt my foot, and I go, uh-oh.
It's like it's going to give?
Yeah, like my instep. I could feel because I had sneakers on, you know? And I got it to the 5 yards, and those guys were going nuts. So I get over there, and I go. They're all sitting there, and all the players are going, "That's impressive, 55, you know, because I'm 55. And Bentley starts – he has this glazed look on his face, and I'm like, something's not right there. He was so impressed that I did that he was thinking that he doesn't work those guys hard enough.
Well, I mean, what was – but, like, the crazy part about it is, I mean, like, you shouldn't be – you know, I mean, like you said, you're in tennis shoes. You're too old for that.
Jorts.
Yeah.
There's no jorts. It was a workout clothes. You know why I had workout clothes? I wouldn't have done it, but I had workout clothes on. You know why I had workout clothes on? Initially, the idea was Bentley was going to put me and through the same workout that he puts Alex Boone through.
Right.
But Boone's kid was sick that day, so he didn't come. So he didn't show up. So then we just did some other stuff. And that's
were your legs sore the next day, Pete?
To be honest with you, no. They weren't.
You're was peak heavy.
Let me say this. When I I'm going to go back to training the old way I used to, but when I was turned 50, I trained at this hit center, you know, and I did a lot of the sled pushing. Never, never, Never with that weight on it, though.
That's a ton of weight.
It that's ridiculous.
By the way, initially, the whole thing was they had the 1,200-pound one stand there, and I went behind it when they were doing some other stuff. And I go, let me see if I can even push that. I did push it about 4 inches. Well, you can't imagine.
That's a pretty 1,200 pounds.
The most 12 plates on each side.
The most impressive thing was that Charles Bentley came back and said that he pointed out that your form, and you pointed, you know that, but like your form, you hit it like with the good fluidity, and like you made the, you know, the like the proper, like the proper technique. That's the hard part.
Well, if you don't get it going, it's not going. So you look like an idiot. Because there were times when they had the 1,200 going or 1,100 that when they couldn't get it going, they weren't going.
Right.
If you don't get it started, you're not going. Once you get it started, then you can move it. I was half tempted. He goes, yeah, come on, more, more. And they were trying to egg me on to get more. And I said, nah, that's it. I'm not doing any more.
Now, have you, did you tell PFT commenter about your accomplishments? Because what was the bet of the Super Bowl, Brinson?
Push-ups.
How many?
Push-ups.
Oh, PFT saw them.
He saw it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was he impressed? Yeah. He had to have been.
He was impressed. He kind of quieted up on the old push-ups.
All right. So you mentioned Charles Bentley used to play for the Browns and that they are a not at all cursed organization. Ryan, what's the latest scuttlebutt? I believe you've seen. I mean, what is it that it's like ESPN on ESPN crime?
Yeah, that's what Greg Rosenthal tweeted out. Apparently this morning, Pat McManaman, who we used to work with at Fenhouse, is now with ESPN. He made some mention of, what are their picks, 12th and 19th?
Yeah, I think it was the offer that the Browns had called the Titans and offered 12 and 19 for number two.
And Paul Kuharsky said, I've not heard anything about that, neither of the Titans. He covers the Titans for ESPN. So that's the latest out of Bristol.
Here's the problem with that scenario, and I said this before, is in talking to GMs around the league, 19 doesn't have a lot of value.
Not this year.
You don't want 12 and 19. You want 12 and next year's one.
Yeah.
Because next year's one,
Cleveland is going to
be a good one. Yeah. So 12 and 19 is not going to get it done. The other thing about that is, if you're the Browns, why would you make that move? You got a mobile runaround quarterback who you drafted in the first round last year. Supposedly he went and got clean. If he's clean, he's dedicated to the craft. Don't you need to spend this year to find out if he can play? Why bring another guy in who runs around and played in a spread offense and does the same thing? Okay, he's 6'3" and he's a couple inches taller, but why would you do that? It makes no sense to me.
No, I agree completely with that. I don't get it. I don't understand. I presume that Jimmy Haslam still got his finger in the pudding of making decisions when it comes to the personnel stuff.
And he also has a pulse in the local Cleveland homeless community.
So exactly. And he's also, what's his saying that I always forget?
Fired up to the max.
And he's fired up to the max about this draft.
Why the Eagles don't go up and get Mariota is mystifying to me.
Well, the Eagles former OC said, not Eagles, I'm sorry, the Oregon former OC said today, or the former DC said today that he does think that Chip Kelly will do that.
I do too. I just sense.
Are you going to mock?
I'm not going to mock. I don't mock the trades. I mean, then if it doesn't happen, your whole thing stinks.
Well, but if
either way, after three picks, my drafts are going to blow up.
Because I'm doing a who they should draft. I have him making the trade to go to Jacksonville to get him.
To three. But you have the Titans taking Leonard Williams in that case.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Do you think the Titans will?
I think they're going to take Mariota.
You think they'll take Mariota?
I didn't think all along, and I talked to guys in an organization, but as of this past week, people in that building are saying they're going to take Mario.
I think the comp is, and Gruden said this on Wednesday.
So maybe. Then it can't be true.
Right, exactly. But I was saying it before I heard Gruden say it, but so actually it is true. taller Russell Wilson for Mariota.
So you got to gimmick it up?
Yeah.
You got to gimmick it up for him.
Yeah,
but wasn't Russell Wilson a more accurate passer in college, like in a more traditional sense?
Russell Wilson saw a bigger spike in his production but he moved to Wisconsin.
But he also played in a more conventional offense too. Yeah, totally, I mean, the problem with Mariota, and I'll say this, how about this one? Somebody in the league, well-placed, high-placed, said that he thinks Mariota's out in 4 years as a bust. How about that?
Really?
Mike Freeman said that today. That's where you get that from.
Freeman talking to the same guy?
No.
Freeman said, he tweeted that on average, one of the two guys will be a bust, Winston or Mariota.
No.
Oh, well, that's not the
Mariota. Mariota is bust. 4 years out.
Is that crazy to think, though?
Well, probably about, and I'll say this, too. Three or four of the other guys I respect highly in this league and guys in GMs I know, they don't think he's very good either.
Well, Pete, let me ask you this, and Brinson and I talk about this probably once a month. Why in God's name, if the Titans are going to go with Mariota, number one, why aren't they interested in Phillip Rivers? And number two, why didn't Ken Whisenhunt take that frickin' Lions job last year? Why did he even take this job?
He felt more comfortable in Tennessee.
Without a quarterback. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't think he from what I understand, he didn't feel comfortable in Detroit.
That's well, you got Martin Mayhew and Tom. You got guys kind of, you know, breathing down your neck in terms of making decisions. He's got most of the pull in Tennessee, right?
And I got him two wins.
I would take Leonard Williams and try my hand with Mettenberger rather than drafting Mariota.
Because I love him, Mettenberger.
I think Mettenberger, and they like Mettenberger too. And here's the other thing: if Mettenberger hits, he's cheap.
Right,
he was a 6th round pick, so you put your money in other spots.
But the problem is, if you draft Leonard Williams and you go with Zach Mettenberger and you win between 2 and 5 games next year, which is totally possible.
Yes, it is.
Are they going to win with Mariota?
Well, I'm not saying that Mariota will make them win 8 games. I'm saying that if you have Mariota and you win 2 and 5 games, you're like, well, we're developing our 1st round pick. Give us another year.
What if he drafts Mariota and Mettenberger beats him out?
Then you say, well,
Mettenberger sits another
year. Yeah, then you're really.
That's why you take the Detroit job.
I think that people do stupid stuff all the time to save their jobs, especially in the NFL.
And especially as the hours tick down to the 1st round.
Exactly. And if you draft Marcus Mariota, you extend your job and save your job a little bit longer.
But you said before, Ryan, that Chip would have to give up too much. I figured it out. He wouldn't have to give up that much.
Okay, give me that strategy because I want to hear this.
All right. It's your first this year, which is 20.
Mm-hmm.
Your first next year, which I guesstimated to be between 25 and 26 or something like 27-ish. Because if you're playing them, you're not going to win the Super Bowl. Okay. Then a second this year or third this year and a second or a third next year.
No, I think that might actually get it done. I would take 2 seconds and 2 firsts.
I figured it out on the points chart. It could get you close to it. Then you might have to throw in like a 6.
That's a lot, by the way.
You're saying a first this year, a first next year.
And a second this year and a second next year.
Okay, but if you get
four huge picks.
If you get, I went back and did the last 5 years of those picks.
And you were dogging some good guys.
No, there's one Pro Bowler in all those picks from the last 5 years. One.
Who?
Kyle Long.
It's a pretty good pick.
The only one.
Kyle Long's an Oregon guy.
It's the only one.
He's an Oregon guy.
But if you can get your guy, the franchise guy.
You just said he's going to be out of the league in 4 years.
But in Chip's offense, it works. He goes in right away and plays right away.
They got Tebow for that.
Oh, my God. He won't make it to July.
Why aren't the Jets making this move? Because I think in a Chan Gailey offense, Marcus Mariota works too.
They have Geno Smith. Find out what he can do.
There have been reports. But again, 48 hours out, who knows? That the Jets are very interested.
Oh, I'm sure they're interested because it's a new regime, a new staff, and they want their own quarterback. I tell you what, if Marcus Mariota, whoever he plays for next year, has a game better than Geno Smith had in the last game of the year against Miami, then I'll be way, way, way off.
Geno Smith was good down the stretch.
Yeah, but he also had a 0.0 passer rating against the Chargers and got pulled.
But he also played for Rex Ryan and doesn't know a thing about
playing. I love how everyone's killing Rex Ryan all of a sudden. But before we move on.
I'm the only guy who does.
Joe Namath. Everybody else. Joe Namath.
With Rex.
And Jason Morrow hates him too. But quickly, Pete, let me go back to the Eagles thing. So Chip Kelly won 10 games his first 2 years, didn't have any personnel decisions. He took over all that and has gone absolutely crazy the last 2 months. If that team wins 6 or 7 games next year, that pick becomes whatever, 10, 11, 12, 15. And you start questioning whether he knows what the hell he's doing. So then what happens with the two first?
Well, if they win 6 or 7 games and he doesn't make the deal for Mariota, you're going to question what the hell he's doing, aren't you?
They're not going to. I think they would be better off with the guys they have now.
The thing we're ignoring in all of this is if they win 6 or 7 games, if they make that trade from Mariota, what's happening with Sam Bradford?
They're not going to sign him.
I don't believe that whole talk about getting a 1st round pick for Sam Bradford, by the way.
The Browns
didn't deny it.
Yeah, I still don't think that. Maybe they didn't deny it, but it's one thing to say it and one thing to do it.
That's the same organization that spent $100,000 on that study.
Yeah.
Look, Mariota just belongs in Philadelphia. It's the only place he belongs.
What if you took Bradford, you flip him to Cleveland for 19, or you flip him to Cleveland for 12?
No, it has to be 19, doesn't it?
Or unless you do Bradford in a 2nd round pick next year.
Oh, God, that's a lot.
Don't forget he already gave picks to go get Bradford.
Yeah, I'm just thinking how you package Bradford to Tennessee to get Mariota.
What is Tennessee doesn't want Bradford?
Why not?
No,
they got a young, big, strong-arm kid.
But you're just getting the guy for 1 year.
For the life of me, I can't figure out what these teams do. I mean,
that's the thing.
I mean, seriously. I mean, it's just football. You overthink. They overthink everything. Just pick a guy. Pick the guy. Pick the football player.
Hey, okay, Pete. Let me ask you this. Just related. Sorry, Brinson. I just thought about this. Someone mentioned this the other day. I don't remember what they were talking about, but they basically said, "I think we give GMs and these personnel guys too much credit." Because you just pointed out, it's football. Are there guys in this job? And I suspect they are. Who are just happen to fail upwards into these jobs? Or are there guys, yes, five or six, who are legitimately the smartest guy in the room and they know what they're doing?
No, I think there's a lot of good football guys that have come up through the ranks. I think there's a lot of guys that fell into the job. And, you know, when a guy gets hired, I like asking around about him to the guys I know. And, you know, if they're not very good, you always get, he's a little lightweight. He's a lightweight, you know, you get that one.
Who's the lightweight?
I'm not going to name names, but there are lightweights out there.
Well, let me ask you this. I was on Cleveland radio last week. Our buddy Ken Carman asked me, what does the national media think of Ray Farmer? I said, well, they think he's an idiot for texting, but I have no conception of what people actually think about him on the inside. Do people respect Ray Farmer in general? Well, let me put it this way. Do you respect Ray Farmer, Pete?
I don't know Ray Farmer, but I hear good and bad about him, to be honest with you.
It's a very, very measured approach.
Even the greatest of the great blow them.
Of course.
That's why people always come back to me with my draft grades. Oh my God. And I'm one of the few guys that goes back and
even the greatest of the great.
No, I'm talking about.
Let me talk about myself.
If I blow it, it doesn't matter to me. Doesn't cost me my job.
No, but look, a good example is Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson, every year around draft time, gets his back rubbed by everybody around the league because he's talking about a great job he does. And he does a great job. He crushes it second round wide receivers. But look at, that dude's whiffed on a lot of defensive linemen in the first round lately. I mean, Justin Harrell, Nick Perry doesn't look like a great pick. I mean, who else?
Well, the offensive lineman got hurt.
He also hits guys too.
No, of course
Sherrod got hurt.
Well, look, John Schneider's missed on some first round picks.
Schneider's missed on a lot of picks. Tom Brady went in the sixth round. They can't tell me that they didn't get lucky.
That's what
they would have taken him in the third round if they thought he was what he was.
Taking him in the first if they thought he was.
So you think about it. There's a lot of luck. The drafting is a lot of luck. What we don't know, which is always hard when we're doing the evaluation and when we grade these guys, is what's inside between the ears,
right?
And will they work at it? And you don't know that. You don't know. Now, these guys have all kinds of tests and interviews and everything else, so they have a better idea, but they still don't know.
Of course not.
It's the unknown.
Well, that's the crazy thing is, like, you think about it, we have all of these resources and hundreds of people who are talking to these kids and watching these kids and scouting these kids, and we have all these examples of people who have done well and people who have done poorly and all these comps, and we still have zero idea. You can't tell me. You can't sit there and tell me that Jameis Winston will be good at the NFL.
I could have told you Andrew Luck was going to be good.
There's one prospect every 20 years.
Yeah,
it's Luck and Manning, and that's it.
But here's the other thing: the draft is boom with draft Twitter and draft Nick.
Do you like draft Twitter?
Yeah, I respect. Why not let everybody have their own opinion? Yeah. What I don't like is I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the opinions. We have him graded as a third round pick in our grades. We have him graded. Our stats say he's a grade here. We have him. We have this. We have that. No, look, don't get offended when somebody doesn't agree with you. You can fight back. You can argue with him and make your case. But your isn't the end all be all, just like mine isn't. And the kid who's coming up down the road who's got a draft book, you know, everybody respect the process. Nobody respects anybody's process. I'm not always right. I think I am, but I'm not. I'm
the key is, as you like to say, stick by your guns.
Stick by your you have a conviction and stick by it. And you know what? Do like I do. Go back 3 years later and grade your grade and put yourself out there. I go back and grade my three every year. And it's humbling because you put a grade down there the day after the draft, and then you go back and look at it 3 years later, and you go, boy, what the hell was I thinking?
Like the Christian Ponder pick you were doing.
I like Christian Ponder.
I know. Todd McShay was on ESPN the other day, and he was doing his highest ranked quarterbacks of the past 5 years. He's like, and number four, Blaine Gabbert. Boy, would I like that one back.
Oh, boy.
Of course.
He had to fight for that pick.
But I'll say this, though. The Carolina Panthers came close to picking Blaine Gabbert. People don't realize that. Marty Herney loved Blaine Gabbert.
Where's Marty Herney now?
Right, but you picked Cam Newton. He
picked Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams,
but
too.
But he loved Blaine Gabbert. There were a lot of people that liked Blaine Gabbert.
And he traded up for the – who's the second-round pick he traded up for, Brinson? and the defensive.
Jeff Otoff.
Yeah.
No, no, the defensive lineman from defensive end Florida State. He gave up the first round pick the next year.
Oh, God. Everett Brown.
Everett Brown.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Hey, but here's what you don't know about Blaine Gabbert, and this is why the process is hard. He didn't love it. The word is, his daddy made him play football. He didn't really like it. If a kid doesn't love it, he's not going to put the work in. It's not going to work.
Jake Locker.
Yeah, you got to love it. He quit. He didn't love it. You have to
get tired of getting hit in the face. I can sort of respect that.
I can't. Not if you're getting paid that kind of money. You can hit me in the face all you want.
Ryan, what? Ryan,
put your helmet underneath my chin every Sunday for $5 million a year.
Ryan, what has been your favorite selection for the Steelers thus far in any mock draft?
Oh, my God. And Pete, before you release your final mock draft, for the love of God, please take Landon Collins' name off number 22. The Steelers are not taking that guy. They are not doing it.
It's not taking him. I got information this morning that the Steelers will not be taking
him. I should have texted you and told you that. People seem to forget they traded up to get Shamarco Thomas 2 years ago. He was hurt last year. They're going to give him a chance to play.
It's not very good, though.
He's no Troy.
No, what are you talking? He hasn't played. Landon Collins is actually a worse Troy Polamalu than Troy Polamalu as a 34-year-old.
I know who I would take if I'm the Steelers.
Okay, go ahead. You tell me who, and then I want to run some names by you, and you tell me one sentence what you think of them.
I would take Marcus Peters.
That's two local B guys that I trust a lot think that Marcus Peters might be the guy.
Marcus Peters might be the best cornerback in the draft.
I've heard that. And I also, Kevin Colbert during the Monday press conference when they don't say anything, actually did say he was very upset with reports leaking out about certain players, their personal lives. And one B reporter thought that he was probably talking about Marcus Peters because I guess there's some rumor that Marcus Peters choked a coach.
Yeah, and I know people on the Washington staff.
That denied that, right?
Denied it 100%. Yeah. He said he's actually a pretty good kid.
And right. His dad was a coach or something like that, and he played for him. And
Marcus Peters is a good kid. He's not a bad – he got a little big-timey. That's what I understand. And so he didn't choke the coach.
Like
that's
star
what I was
athletes
told. Guy I know, trust him 100%. He didn't choke him.
Good. Says, I would love Marcus Peters as the 27th pick.
Marcus Peters is the best pick, but that's who they're going to pick, I think.
I don't know. I wanted to call you.
I put him in there. I was going to do another mock. That wasn't my final mock.
Why you came back and did another mock. You got some information.
Okay, let me run some names by you, Pete, of other potential guys that are up and down and that might have interest in Pittsburgh. People seem to be mixed on Vic Beasley. What do you got on him? Outside linebacker Clemson.
No way he gets.
He's not going to last that long. I think he's soft against the run and good. He can rush the passer. But I'll say this. Watch his Clemson Georgia game. He gets pinned by the tight end about five times. I don't want that in my.
But just on Beasley, I don't care that I like if I'm drafting him. I know that he's not great against the run and hope that he can bulk up. But the idea is that you can set this guy loose on the against the pass.
I don't think he'll make it to the Steelers. There's no way he's making it to the Steelers.
He wouldn't make it past.
I heard Tomlin likes him, but
I think Washington's going to end up taking.
What about bigger bust potential, Beasley or Alvin Dupree out of Kentucky?
Beasley.
Really?
I think Alvin Dupree is going to be good.
He didn't do a whole lot in college, right?
I think Bud Dupree will go to the Jets at 6.
Lord have mercy. Isn't that high?
No, I don't. Not in my one.
Oh,
I'm not in this new one.
Okay.
I think Bud Dupree is big, strong, physical, and nasty.
Why didn't he do that in college?
But let's put it this way. There's an offensive tackle that played in the SEC who said that Bud Dupree was better than Dante Fowler.
Really?
All right, two other names, and these guys are both sort of knuckleheads off the field, Gregory and Shane Ray.
They're both going to go in the first round.
What?
They're both going to – you can't discount the ability to rush the passer. I just can't. Now, I'll say this. Gregory, I'm not so sure about. Ray will. Gregory, his problems might be like more concerning than Ray's.
Is that weed or is that the love of football or what?
All of it. Plus, he hasn't kept his weight on. I mean, it's add them all up. But think about that. That kid was a surefire. 2013, his 2013 tape is unbelievable. But I tell you what, I got information during the season last year that the kid had off the field issues. So,
really?
And then he didn't play very well.
You know what? Florio wrote about that today. No one seems to be able to pinpoint what these issues are. Do you know them and you can't say them or do teams know them?
Pete is.
I have an idea, but I don't know for sure. I just hear things from teams that they're concerned about him.
Now, Brinson seems to think that possibly more than two running backs will go in the first round. Do you see that happening?
No, two.
I think two are definitely going in the first round.
Are we definite about that?
Take Gurley.
What?
Yeah, I think the Falcons are going to take Gurley.
God, just, that team.
This is based on nothing that nobody there tells me, because I don't know anybody anymore, and they don't like me anymore. But because think about this. Dan Quinn comes from Seattle.
Right.
They spent some money on defense. They have no running backs. Yeah. Nobody that can carry the ball the way he wants to carry the ball.
Gurley is a superstar.
I love. Hey, I got a rank my 32 and I or seventh, and I don't like running backs.
Yeah,
I wouldn't draft him in the first round. If I was, I would draft him in the first round if I'm a good team at the back end.
Yeah, eight is ridiculous. That's an insane.
Yeah, but if you look at their team and the makeup of it, it makes a lot of sense because he wants to pound the football. So
is that defense suddenly fixed? Did I miss something?
And I think Gordon will go 17 to 24 somewhere.
If Gurley goes top 10, then Gordon is going to go. I mean, don't you see a situation where somebody like the Cowboys or somebody like the Cardinals trades up?
They won't trade up. I keep hearing the Lions are interested and want a running back.
See, but if Gordon and Gurley both go, what are the Lions at?
23. So I think it could go, like if Gordon and Gurley both make it down in there, then I think San Diego might play running back and then Detroit could take a running back.
Okay, well, let's say that the Falcons go Gurley and the Chargers go Gordon. Then does a third running back, like a Tevin Coleman
or somebody get
in there?
No.
Even on the back end?
But here's the other thing. There's a million guys in this draft. How much difference will there be between Melvin Gordon and T.J. Yeldon?
That's a good point. He's, what, a third or fourth rounder?
Yeah.
I'd rather have somebody like Amir Abdullah or Duke Johnson.
But okay, any of those guys. But if you David get, Cobb, I've heard from a bunch of people who love David Cobb.
Yeah, but they're not going to use love a first-round pick on David
Cobb.
No, yeah.
They love him, though. Yeah. So here's what you got to ask yourself. Are you better off with, say,
your first-round
Bud
pick
Dupree and T.J. Yeldon than Todd Gurley and Eli Harold,
yeah,
who is soft as can be.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
There's a play, by the way. Let me get in Eli Harold because I went back and watched him some. There's a play against I think it might be Miami. I forget, but he loops in, and the back is waiting for him, and he did an ole. He didn't want to get hit by him
by the back.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
That's a red flag.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Who is creeping onto the back end? Do you have more names for you? Sorry, I might have derailed you there, Ryan.
Two more quickly. And this guy I love because I actually am one of the few people on the planet that watch UConn football every year. Byron Jones. People keep saying he's a workout warrior. He's not. Bob Diaco, the head coach, who was the former defense coordinator of Notre Dame, loves him. Like absolutely loves him. And that was last summer before he got hurt. What do you think about him, Pete? And also mixing Eric Rowe, Utah quarterback.
Love both of them. And Byron Jones will go in the between 20 and 32.
He's a first rounder.
No doubt. Yeah. And I think Eric Rowe is going to go at the back end of the first round.
See,
but I'll say this. I think Eric Rowe, and I've argued with some scouts and personnel people, but I think he goes inside and plays free safety. It becomes a dominant free safety.
He played safety his first two or three years, right?
He did. They think he's going to play corner. They think he's a long, lean corner, physical guy. So.
Somebody said he hits like Rodney Harrison. Does that sound right?
And no, he covers more than he hits. He'll tackle you now. But remember, there was a guy play corner at Utah that went inside at free safety. He's become a pretty darn good free safety. Eric Weddle.
Oh, Weddle. Yeah.
Weddle.
Yeah.
So I think he can play both. I think he's going in the first round too.
All right. So all of a sudden we have this draft that only has 15 first round grade guys.
I don't buy that, by the way. Everybody says that every year. And then you look at the draft, like Travis Frederick. When he was picked, everybody went, I gave him a good grade. Remember?
You did.
Everybody went crazy. Everybody went crazy. The top of the draft was the garbage. When you look back on that draft,
2013 was horrible.
Terrible. And then back into the draft, you got guys like Frederick and guys like that. I don't buy that all the time.
All right, well, so given that, this is what I think is interesting. So looking at like the Panthers pick, you have a team, some teams at the back end that need offensive tackles. I feel like there's a good group of offensive linemen who are going to get pushed down because the teams at the top are going to be looking defense. You got the two running backs.
I have a hard time slotting in the tackles.
Because people are going in different directions or because you can't figure out who's going to use who where?
Well, okay.
All right, so we have
Landrus Pete.
Yeah.
I think he's wonderfully gifted as an athlete.
Are you going to call him soft?
No, I want to know where the want to is.
Why? Because he went to Stanford? I don't understand. I saw you tweeting about that.
More than that.
Why you gotta hate Whitey so much, Pete?
That's just something that I've heard from around the league.
Really?
Like yeah, Jonathan Martin want to, or they're a little more than that?
It's terrible though. It's a bad thing because here's why. I'll give you another one. The kid from Duke,
Lakin Tomlinson,
who I really love, by the way. Yeah. I think he might wind up in the back end of the first round, too. But, you know, he's going to medical. He wants to become a doctor and all that stuff. So you wonder, where's the drive and determination and everything if you know you got that in your in your back pocket? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you hear that from scouts, personnel guys. They go, how much does he want it? How much does he love it?
Well, somebody asked David Cutcliffe about that yesterday or Tuesday, actually. And he goes, I'm not having that conversation with anybody if they call me. I'm not even bothering to talk to them.
It's a good – it's a valid point. Do you need it? It's just like if you had
this guy worked his ass off so he could go to medical school. You're like, well, he might not work hard enough.
But here's – I'm going to liken it to something. If we were sitting in here and we were hungry, we were starving, and there was a bunch of food here, right? Not that. But if there's a bunch of food in here, right?
Yeah.
We're just going to sit here and eat it, get fat and happy. But if we had to fight to get outside and get the food, it's a whole different animal. You're a different animal. You're going to work. You're going to want to. You're going to have desire and drive. If you know you have something in your back pocket, it's not the same.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he got that in his back pocket by working hard.
Look, I know guys.
Like, but you can't rip a guy because he went
to
Duke.
I'm not. I like the kid. I think he's going to be a dominant guard. But you do hear that. And then you hear the flip side. There are guys that draft guys because they graduated from college and they have degrees and they're married and all that and they're settled down. I don't buy any of it. I put the tape on and watch them.
So, Pete, do you have more questions about Andrews Pete, Lakin Tomlinson, or someone like Jalen Collins, okay, who played 10 games and has all these off-field issues?
Well, can we run through the? Cause I'm
curious. Go ahead.
Offensive lineman.
Okay, well, like I want to run through a list.
Okay, I think Collins.
Oh, hold on, no. I want to see. Where do you think these guys will play? Brandon Scherff is a
guard, 100% guard.
Lyle Collins is a
guard, although I think he can play right tackle.
What's going to happen to? What's Collins' first round status with all this other off-field stuff going on here?
Yeah. So do you think Collins from LSU is a? Is because of what's going on is going to be a first round pick.
Yes. I mean, unless he did it, I mean, you know, there's nothing linking.
Right, if you're a team like the Patriots who have had a guy with some off field issues in the news lately, or the Panthers who have had a guy like both these teams could use offensive lineman help. Are you going to take the risk on Collins? And I'm not presuming
I don't think he'll be around when they pick. I think he's going to – I mean, then they're going to do the due diligence on it.
Well, it just came up sort of, so you really can't do a whole lot. And what's the – well, we should probably tell people what the exact thing is because I'm not sure. There's
it's a tragic, tragic situation. A pregnant woman died and believed to be murdered. The baby has been born, is still in the hospital. Collins – they don't know if it's Collins' kid or what the deal is.
It's
his ex-girlfriend, and he has left the draft to go speak with Louisiana police. I mean, it's a crazy, horrible, tragic situation. And I mean, I just don't know that I would have an issue. Like, I think a team like the Panthers, even if just presuming he's there, would have a tough time drafting him given everything that's going on.
Well, because they had
Greg Hardy.
Yeah. But I still think he's going to get drafted in the top.
Okay, so
20.
You think he's a top 20 pick. All right.
If none of this pops up, yeah. I think he might end up being the first lineman picked.
Really?
Yeah, the Giants, you know, could have taken him.
Do you think
nine.
Tom Coughlin would take that guy? Not saying anything's wrong.
Pick him. Jerry Reese picks him.
Okay.
That's a big difference. In Jacksonville, Tom Coughlin wouldn't have taken him.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm going to sit here and say that. He picked R.J. Soward.
True.
Old school. Yep.
He knew he had problems. He still picked them anyways. Even the best ones who fight that get close or think they're close, they're gonna cross the line a little bit. Now it's a little different now because you got all the instant media and social media and everything. So it's a bigger fishbowl. I'll say this: the linemen are hard to place in this draft, but they're all gonna go between 9 and the tackles and guards or whatever they are will go between 9 and 25.
How high does Brandon Scherff get?
I'll give you one that's going in the first round that most people don't have. Jake Fisher's going in the first round.
Yeah, so you tweet that. I retweeted that. Yeah.
He's going in the first round.
He's really athletic.
Yeah.
But now, where do you put him at the next level?
I think he's played right tackle. I think he played, like in Denver's scheme, he's the right tackle. Because they're athletic. They can get him on the move. I think he's the right tackle. Mm. So I think you asked me that. Scherff guard, Collins guard.
Where does Scherff, how high does Scherff? Okay.
I think he might slip a little bit. He's a solid player. But
he's big.
You have him going 18th in your next to last mock draft to Kansas City.
I have him going a little bit before that in my final one, I think. But because here's why. I think Pete is better than him. I think Collins is better than him.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys got to go. They won't go. If the Giants don't take a lineman, the Rams take a lineman, right, at 10, maybe. What if Kevin White's still there when the Rams pick?
No way he falls that far.
Well, okay.
But
let's,
no, I,
all right, let's play it out. Let's play. Right. That's the fun thing to do.
All right.
Number one, Winston.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right, Ryan. You agree?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Number two, Mariota to somebody.
Yes.
Number three, it's a hard pick. I live there. I talk to people there. I still have no idea. I know who I would pick. Leonard Williams.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
I think it's either...
And they keep dropping these hints about him playing three technique in their defense. You know, that didn't come out until they started thinking that he might fall. And that just... That leads me to believe that he's the guy.
I think they're not expecting Leonard Williams to be there. And if he's there, then they might just have to take him.
Then four... I keep getting information that they're going to take another pass rusher. And I don't know if that's accurate or not, but when you think about it, they play in a division where Phillip Rivers is a quarterback, where Peyton Manning is a quarterback, even for another three or four more years. If you're Jack, two, three more years. If you're Jack Del Rio, you got Khalil Mack on one side. You put Dante Fowler on the other side. Go get him.
That's
I'm fine with that. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Then five, then you get to.
Also, go back to your point about you talk about who would you rather have? Would you rather have Dante Fowler and a good wide receiver you can get at the top of the second round?
Right.
Or would you rather have...
And yeah. I think... See, some people think there's not that much difference between the top pass rusher and the seventh pass rusher. I don't buy that. I think Fowler's...
The wide receivers are closer than anybody else.
I think I'd take Fowler in that spot. Yeah. So you take Fowler.
Right.
Then five, you get to the Redskins, right? Mm-hmm. At five. They have to take a pass rusher.
Have to.
So I would think...
So you changed your pick, Brenton? Last draft,
I have Redskins taken.
Last mock, you had Amari Cooper.
Oh yeah, I did have Amari Cooper going there.
I think it's Vic Beasley. It just fits with
now,
what they do.
It would depend, but see, I probably had Beasley off the board to Jacksonville.
Right? No, you had him going sixth to the Jets.
Oh, okay,
and I think Jets will take. I think Beasley goes to the Redskins, then Jets will take Bud Dupree. If you look at the Jets defense, down linemen, damn good, right?
Yeah.
Well, assuming that they don't trade Wilkerson.
Well, they're not going to trade Wilkerson. Yeah. Back end. Really good.
Yeah.
Got a fast line, young linebacker in the middle, and a young pass rusher.
If you add like a Leo type or whatever pass rusher to that Jets defense, they're going to do some damage.
Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
So or then you get
still not going to score points.
Sneaks to Chicago, and everybody had Danny Shelton going to Chicago. I still think it's a possibility. But if those receivers are staring them in the face,
they have to take one of those guys.
Yeah. And I would take White
over Amari Cooper.
Yeah, because I think in their offense, White stretches the field. Jeffrey doesn't.
What is their offense, by the way, with Gase?
What's that?
What is their offense with Adam Gase, the new OC?
It's Mike Martz's offense. Drive the ball down the field.
You sure it's not John Fox's offense? Horse the ball.
He got caught now, though. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, right.
What do you say to Jay Cutler calling John Fox innovative?
John, well, he wasn't. He was talking about Gase.
Yeah, but as Brinson sort of alludes to, Fox likes to pump the brakes on just about everything that happens offensively.
Yeah, it's a problem. That's always been a problem.
Yeah.
But I think they'll take a receiver. So then you get to, so then you're sitting there, say they take White or Cooper. Say they took Cooper.
Okay.
Then you get to eight, and they're not taking a receiver.
Wait a second. So, right, they're not. But, I mean, I don't like the Todd Gurley thing at eight with the Falcons either.
Oh, right.
Well, okay, but all the pass rushers are gone, so where are you going?
But you don't immediately go to the running back.
Where are you going?
Danny Shelton.
Yeah, get some defensive help.
He plays the same position in that defense. Where are you going? That's the problem. If you get to eight and the receivers are gone.
I'm using air quotes, Thomas Dimitrov's worst nightmare.
No, if Kevin White's there, do they take Kevin White? Can't. Same as Julio Jones.
Yeah. Well, you know what? What's his name's getting old, though? He was drafted in 2005.
Yeah, Roddy White. You could assume that Roddy White won't be around forever. Take Kevin White, and all of a sudden you got White and Jones. That's destructive.
Dan Quinn. He's calling the shots. He came from Seattle. He doesn't care about receivers.
That's true. That's true.
So he's going to take Gurley.
Well, what is
the pass rusher? If one of the pass rushers is there, he would take the pass rusher.
So where does what's his name Hairdo rank on the pecking order now in Atlanta? Behind
who?
Quinn, the Dimitrov. Does he rank behind Quinn and the ball headed guy? He's name I can't remember.
That's his draft. He does.
Okay. All right. But the whole point was to let's see if we could get Kevin White down to 10. So in your scenario, the Falcons go Gurley.
Right, and then you get to – and the Giants aren't going to take Kevin White.
Look, because of Shane Ray and Randy Gregory's problem on the field, we've now gotten to this point where the pass rushers, the top-end pass rushers are going to be gone by 10.
Right, we're going to be gone by 8.
That's fine, but gone by 10.
Right, so then you get to 9. The Giants will take Shelton or an offensive lineman. They're not going to take Kevin White.
Right.
You drafted Beckham last year.
Yeah.
Then you get to 10. They're going to take Kevin White. They have to.
Right.
Wait a second, though. Going back to 8, Gurley makes more sense than Ray or Gregory for the Falcons?
They can't. The Falcons can't be in a position to take one of those guys.
I would not be surprised if the Falcons traded up to go get Dante Fowler if he started slipping at all.
Probably.
That's been a rumor. And also,
because you know Dan Quinn coached him.
But you can get away with taking Gregory and Ray at 25 or 20 or something like that.
But if they blow up at 10, you're getting fired. If they blow up at
8, then you're the Falcons. You're in trouble.
So Pete, you don't believe the Falcons when they say they have not taken Shane Ray off their draft board?
I don't know if they necessarily had him ranked that high to begin with, though. You know, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
There's differing opinion. Everybody acts like he's a, you know, just because Bill Polian said he's the next Robert Mathis, all of a sudden he's the greatest thing in the world. Yeah, slow down on that a little bit. I think he's a good player and he should be a first round pick, but I don't know if he's.
I wouldn't want the Steelers to take him or Gregory, honestly. They already have, what's his name, Jarvis Jones not doing anything. You don't need two guys out there not doing anything.
Gregory, to me, has a chance to slide out of the first.
Okay. So the point of this was, you get to 10.
I love that Brinson's the one that has to keep us on track. That's how bad things are off the rails.
I keep going back to the offensive linemen. All of a sudden, we don't have an offensive lineman.
If the Giants took one, there's one that went there.
Okay, but so...
Then the Rams don't take one. Then you get to 11.
Yeah.
The Vikings, I think they go corner, but they could go
Trey Waynes is a popular pick.
They could go Devontae Parker, too, to give him his receiver for his buddy.
That makes so much sense.
Right. You have that bench in your last draft.
You got to remember, though, Mike Zimmer is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
And when he was in Cincinnati, they drafted Denard, they drafted Kirkpatrick, they just kept drafting corners. So that.
No, Denard was last year. He was gone. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. Zimmer was gone when they drafted Denard.
But, you know, they also drafted some other corners.
Yeah, they drafted a lot. Leon Hall, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. And wasn't he? Yeah. So he's a corner guy. He's a defensive guy. So 2 and 2 = 4. So. Then
plus, well, who do they have on the outside right now besides is Rhodes?
Xavier Rhodes, and they got Captain Munnerlyn.
Yeah, but Munnerlyn, you'd rather have be in the slot. But if you had two young guys plus Munnerlyn in the slot, all of a sudden you got a pretty nice little backfield.
Can Waynes walk in there and start though, Trey Waynes?
The draft Twitter is killing Trey Waynes. The scouts think he's really good.
Okay.
Then you get to 12, and who's that? That's
the Browns. And the latest mock has Perryman, Shelton. You have Shelton at the last mock. Pete, and then Brinson had Ray at the time.
I have Perriman, I think, in the latest one, or Dorsett or somebody, a wide receiver. You got to get a wide receiver.
But at do you have to take Perryman at 12?
You might, if Parker. Yeah, I think I have him taking Parker.
Do you like Perryman better than Jalen Strong?
Perryman?
Yeah.
I don't, but I think teams do.
Okay.
By the way, Brinson, if Shane Ray goes to the Browns, as you said last week in your mock draft, they should have Josh Gordon introduce him.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Well, that was before the
right.
That
was
just the toe too. Don't forget.
Well, the toe came out, and then the weeds.
All right, so you get to 13. We're at 13.
Saints.
They take.
I think they go offensive line if all those guys are sitting.
I think they will too. You got to remember, Jack Streiff is 31 now, but they can't. They got to take a guard. They can't. They can't really. They need a guard. So
that high 13.
If Scherf is sitting there.
Hey, but you got to remember, in their offense, the guards are more important than the tackles.
Nope, Brees, good point.
6 foot.
Exactly. So if Scherf is sitting there at, how do you not take Scherf at 13?
They would probably take Scherf.
Okay.
Then we get to 14, and that's
the Dolphins.
I had them taking a receiver. I switched it.
You had Devontae Parker last draft.
In this newest one?
Yeah, I got a receiver going there.
Who do you have? Who's the receiver?
Devontae?
No, either him or Perryman. I haven't cleared. Okay. Yeah,
they need a receiver.
Yeah.
They need
what about the conversation that they like Gurley?
Lamar Miller played okay last year. I mean,
Lamar Miller was a top 10 running back.
I don't. That makes no sense to me.
All right.
What about, would you take Gordon?
No. Go to 15.
Okay.
San Fran. 15,
Texas.
15 is the 49ers.
Yeah. That's, I put Eric Armstead there all along. But don't be shocked if they take a corner.
Sure.
That's Byron Jones and Trey Waynes are on there.
Yeah.
Who else?
Byron Jones was Rob Rank's pick.
And they could take a corner.
Okay. You have Philip Dorsett to the Texans.
I think they need to get speed. My problem with that is Bill O'Brien comes from the Patriot school, and they don't put premium on the wide receivers.
And they also already have Rick Smith took. Well, I mean, I guess he didn't draft Andre Johnson, obviously. But you know, you look at the history of them.
They busted out. Keyshawn Martin and Posey haven't been what they thought when they picked them in the second round. So I think eventually they're gonna have to get a number one receiver.
Hopkins.
I mean, a
number two
first round pick, number one guy.
That's Hopkins.
To go with them, you gotta have two or three of them.
Okay. All right.
This is the NFL now.
No, that's why there's like there's some.
They signed Cecil Shorts, but he's the third.
That's why there's
three.
Some speculation that the Giants could go wide receiver even as high as they are.
They could also take Landon Collins too, because if Swearinger is definitely a training block. Hey, I'm not a Landon Collins guy either, but if
he's not better than Swearinger.
Yeah, Swearinger's not very good.
By the way, you guys forgot one thing. Brian Hoyer now plays for the Texans.
That's a. I have Doriel Green Beckham in my first round.
Yeah, you have him to the Bengals. Yeah. Was this your updated one I'm looking at?
No,
this is yesterday's.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we get the Texans receiver or so or something.
But so at this point with the Texans, and if they go receiver, let's say they go Philip Dorsett, you have the Chargers are on the clock. We've only got one offensive lineman off the board?
Right. No.
We got Scherf.
No, that's it. Yeah. No Pete, no Collins.
No, and this is a real.
Well, we had the Giants possibly taking an offense. I had the Giants.
Okay,
well,
that's fine, but I mean, like, we could be.
Well, Scherf to the Saints or somebody to the Saints and Pete. So two.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, but that's still not like there's still a big clump of
Chargers
offensive
could
linemen.
Take an offensive lineman.
Sure, but they invested in DJ Fluker.
They signed Orlando Franklin,
they also signed King Dunlap for a few years. Yeah, but
but they need a running back too.
I think if Melvin Gordon's sitting there at 17, they take Melvin Gordon.
Maybe. Okay, so 18.
If Todd Gurley's there at 17, there's no question.
Okay, 18.
All right, 18 is the Chiefs.
Receiver.
This is where you had Scherf falling.
Yeah, and they could take an offensive lineman. They should take an offensive lineman. They should take Pete if he's there.
I mean, they signed Macklin, but they still – I mean, like, that's no guarantee that he's
there. Pete, Andrews Pete.
Is he going to replace Eric Fisher?
You know what they might do? You know what they might do? Might put Pete at left tackle and put Fisher back to right tackle.
What a waste.
Yeah.
Well, you got to make us do what's best for your football team.
No, that draft, I know.
That draft stunk. It was a bad year to have the first pick.
Terrible year.
All right, go ahead.
19 with the Browns again. You have Perryman going.
I put Shelton there because I had him falling that far.
Wow. No way he falls to 19.
He's a one.
Ring thinks that too.
Huh?
Ring agrees.
He's a two. He's a two down player. He comes out on third down. That's not a lot of value.
Yeah, but you can plug him in.
I don't know. Go ahead.
20, the Eagles.
I think that's Kevin Johnson.
They're not going to be there, though, right?
I think Kevin Johnson will be there.
No, the Eagles won't be there at 20.
No, they might. I think they're going to go up and get Mariota, but...
But you won't mock it.
No. I'm too chicken to mock it.
Well, but if you mock the Eagles going that far up, it throws everything off. 21, the Bengals.
I put Doriel Green Beckham there. Think about this. That sounds crazy. Sounds absolutely...
It does sound crazy, because what's his name's healthy now? Marvin
Green and Mohamed Sanu are in the final year of their deals.
Marvin, what's his name? What's his name, Brinson?
And Marvin Jones is coming off an injury.
He's healthy, though. He said he was healthy a few weeks ago.
Everybody's healthy in April.
You're even healthy in April.
I feel good in April. Yeah. I feel bad in November.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? We all feel good in April. We feel bad in November.
So all right, the most important pick is coming up next.
But the AJ Green stuff, I mean, like, that doesn't matter. He's getting a big contract.
Yeah.
Well, Pete's making this face now, Ryan.
Maybe he doesn't want to play with Ginger Magoo.
They're going to, but think about it. What else? What are their options there? The Bengals, and Marvin Lewis has come out and said, whoever we're drafting, probably not going to be a starter anyways, right away, right?
Because they're a deep team.
Because they might draft an offensive lineman, because Whitworth and Smith are in the last year of his deals, too.
That's what they need to go tackle.
Which one?
You could go with Humphreys, DJ
that,
Humphreys.
I hear they like Jake Fisher, too.
Jake Fisher.
What about Eric Flowers? What about that guy?
I think he's moving inside. I think they
no,
need
No, Flowers is a right tackle.
Yeah, but I think he's moving inside.
What about the guy from Texas A&M that people seem to be loving recently?
Cedric Bowie.
He was a top five pick until he...
Heck of a player.
Or a top five pick based on 2013.
Bengals could take him, too.
Jake Fisher?
I heard the Bengals' options are... This was a couple weeks. Gregory, Beckham Green Beckham, and Gurley.
Well, Gregory, they just signed Michael Johnson back over there. They don't need...
They've got Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. Well, look, but I mean, to me, if Gurley is there, he's the best player on the board. So I'm okay with taking him, even if it's ridiculous that you don't need to.
You're okay with taking them?
I'm fine.
About the Bengals roster. Whoever they pick most likely isn't starting. That tells you something about the football team, right?
It's in a good shape. You ready to pick them for the Super Bowl again?
No.
They should take a quarterback then.
Except nobody in this draft can play.
So if you all right. I could see a troubled wide receiver or a troubled pass rusher.
Oh, whatever it is, it's going to be troubled.
Troubled. A troubled
fella. The Bengals haven't had any problems for years, by the way.
Of course, but no, but they've done a good, like, they went and got your boy Vontaze Burfict and cleaned him up. I mean, they've done a good job getting those guys and cleaning them up. They're kind of the new Patriots in terms of doing that.
All right, so then 22 is the Steelers. I think Peters is the pick, though.
I like that. I like that a lot.
All right. Then 23, this is where you had Melvin Gordon going to the Lions.
Because I hear the Lions want
to
back. To
me, he's off the board.
He might be, but I
two running backs before 23. That sounds ambitious.
In my world, it's really ambitious.
I think if Melvin Gordon is hanging out in at 18 when the Chiefs are picking, that the Cowboys would trade up and try and get him.
No, the only reason I disagree is because Stephen, Jerry's son, will not let him do anything on draft day now. He gives him like a fake phone that doesn't work. The headphones don't work.
So I gotta get out of here. Let's go through the first round.
All right. 24, the Cardinals. You have them going Shane Ray. Probably still?
I still think that's that value there.
What about Eric Kendricks?
The Shane Ray is great value right there.
You don't like Kendricks?
He's okay.
Out of UCLA?
He's okay.
No? Huh?
Shane Ray.
All right.
All right.
Or a tackle.
Yeah.
Another one. Hmm.
What about Brinson's Panthers at 25?
I think if Eric Flowers is there, they might take Eric Flowers. Is he there on our board?
The Cardinals?
Yeah.
All right, so they go Flowers. I feel like the Saints could go with Flowers too and plug him in for the running game, just by the way. Panthers at 25.
DJ Humphreys.
Everyone has DJ Humphreys.
Yeah, because he's going to go and start at left tackle. He can't play Michael Orr.
Or you could play Orr at right tackle.
He can't play Orr anywhere.
Come on. He's serviceable.
He stinks.
Panthers' offensive line's terrible.
Good.
They got a lot of young kids on that offensive line, though. If they get Humphreys in there, plug him in at left tackle. Go ahead. Let's go.
All right.
26 Ravens.
Receiver, corner, whatever way it goes. Corner, receiver.
They're going to go corner and receiver at 1 and 2, just like they did with Torrey Smith and Jalen Smith.
Jalen Strong would be a Anquan Boldin clone.
But faster.
27 Cowboys.
I like a defensive tackle there. I'm in the minority.
Who's that going to be?
Huh?
Who's that going to be?
If one of the top corners is in there, they might take one of those. But if not, then Jordan Phillips.
Out of Oklahoma. Yeah.
He's a beast now.
All right.
I think they're trading up to get Melvin Gordon.
That'd be stupid.
I think they're doing it.
For a team that has a lot of knees, that'd be dumb.
28 Broncos.
Tackle. Right tackle. If they can find Fisher.
You have Flowers here, but Fisher is a possibility too. 29 Colts.
You had your boy from Arizona State that people are starting to talk about.
Yes. Demarius Randall.
Okay.
Rangy safety.
All right.
Can he play the corner?
The Colts have to go defense.
They need a safety.
All right. And then you had Eric Rowe going to the Packers at 30.
They need a corner. They lost two in free agency, and he usually picks to replace. So jar on the shelf. I think that makes sense.
31, you had Jake Fisher going to the Saints.
Yeah.
If he's there.
Yeah.
I think the Saints have to go tackle with one of their two picks. Or guard, lineman at one of their two picks, exactly. And then 32, you had your boy, Laken Tomlinson, going to the Patriots.
He drafted Logan Mankins in the first round 1 year and hit on it, so why not take another?
Logan Mankins is a tough, hard-working blue-collar fellow.
He doesn't need medical attention, much less medical school.
All right, fellas.
All right, Pete. That was fun. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys.
We will we'll make you come back for another hour after the I know you did. All right, Ryan. So what do you think about that was flip flop catching on the microphone.
All flip flops all the time.
We actually have an hour's worth, right?
We have 53 minutes worth of stuff. So anything you want to say prior to the draft that you want to get on record so you can be right and or wrong come Friday morning?
I think the Cowboys are going to take Melvin Gordon, and they will find some way to trade up to grab him.
Jesus, crazy talk.
I think. Who do you think will take Mariota?
That's insane. The fact that we don't even know that at the second pick. I don't think it's going to be the Titans, honestly.
I think he's going number two. He's number two. I think he'll go number two, but I am not sold that it's the Titans taking him.
I'm going to go out on a limb and make a crazy prediction and say it's the Jets, just because no one else is saying that.
I was kind of thinking that too, because there's not, like, I was going to mock that because there's, A, it's, you don't get burnt that bad if you miss it because you're not moving two Browns picks. B, they can move 2 to 6 is a crazy jump. Like, you can give up a third round pick and make that move.
Yep, that's right. And they add a bonus, you can call him White Geno.
That's right. And I feel like he could start year one.
Why not? Absolutely.
In Chan Gailey's system and be successful if you don't buy into Geno.
And you know what? It's starting to make a lot more sense. So they give up a third round pick, let's say, to move up. And then in the second round, you can get whatever the best wide receiver's left, and then it'll be a really good one.
Do you really need a wide receiver?
Oh, they have Brandon. Well, they have Brandon who's old. You don't know if he's going to be crotchety or not, but they do have Eric.
You got Brandon Marshall, you got Eric Decker, and
Jason Morrow, but I mean, you don't know what you have.
Then also you got, who's the slot?
The little guy.
Jeremy Curley. Yeah. That's a nice little quadrant of receivers for.
Yeah, but you could use another fast, strong, young guy.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Or you get your pass rusher in the second round. I mean, the point being is if you believe Mariota's your quarterback, you have to go get him now.
Yeah, that's right. So that'll be my crazy pick. That's not going to happen. Jets get Mariota number two.
What's your prediction for who the Steelers end up with?
Love Marcus Peters. I've heard a couple of beat guys. Our buddy Jim Wexel mentioned it. I do not want Gregory or Shane Ray. I'm fine with Kevin Johnson. I guess I don't know a lot about him, the Wake Forest guy.
I feel like the Steelers can't go with questionable guy on defense because they don't have. I mean, like Ike Taylor's gone, Troy Polamalu's gone. They have.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's been sort of a headline. They don't have any leaders left. Brett Keisel's gone.
Yeah,
Landon Collins is a terrible idea. Not because he's by all accounts a great person, but he can't play defense. He can't cover anybody, and that's just bring Troy Polamalu back and save the pick.
That's right. That's right. I think the Panthers will end up going offensive lineman. And I mean, if Humphreys is there, I think they'll take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I bet Cam Newton would be very happy about that.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Would they circle back on a wide receiver in round two to pair up with your boy, Kelvin Benjamin?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I really think that Dave Gettleman is an honest to God, best player available guy. Like I keep screaming this on the radio when people ask me, because I say it and then people are like, well, but would they go tackle? Like I'll say this, I'll say he's going to take the best player available. If it's Todd Gurley, if Marcus Mariota fell to 25 and he was the best player available, Dave Gettleman would take him.
If they take a running back in the first round, I'm going to flip out.
No. If Todd Gurley fell to 25, he'd take him in a heartbeat.
How would you be with that?
Fine, because if you look at Jonathan Stewart's contract, Jonathan Stewart ain't hanging around there that long. Stewart's old. Like, relatively. Yeah, not,
I know, but I mean, it's still, the wounds are young of them drafting all those GD running backs in the first round.
Todd Gurley is so special, I'm fine with anybody taking him in the first round. Right. I don't care who you are.
Okay.
Top five, I don't care.
All right, so I think the plan is, if all systems are good, we're going to try to podcast after the first round for Friday morning, correct? Anything
change
on that?
That's right, I will be in here while bugging Scott. During his no, we'll have a recap up from the first round.
Perfect, sounds good. And then on Friday, Saturday, you'll be live on set for the.
That's right. Video people viewers. Can go to CBSSports.com if you haven't already, and check out our live show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Pete and I will be doing I'll be on Friday, and then all night Friday, and then all day Saturday.
Awesome, I think that's it, right?
All right. In the meantime, subscribe via iTunes, and I'll bring you back a beer from the Funky Buddha.